Listening Library presents The Wicked Bargain by Gabe Cole Novoa. Read for you by Vico Ortiz. Para allá, por ser la primera que me enseñó lo que significa ser un luchador. Te quiero muchísimo. Chapter 1. August 3rd, 1820. Papa says water speaks to those willing to listen. On the night Mar arrived silently in the world, the ocean danced and clapped in time with the roaring thunder and unrelenting rain. Mar's parents named them after the sea because the water had celebrated so fiercely it nearly sank La Catalina when Mar took their first breath. Of course, Mar has no memory of their birth, but they imagine it was probably a night like tonight. Dark as ink and so wet that they can barely keep their eyes open against the downpour. Fitting, as today is their 16th birthday. Mar leans against the rail of the crow's nest, squinting into the storm. The warm rain pelts their face and paints their lips, seeping into their mouth and soaking their clothes until their black linen shirt clings to their brown skin. Thunder, like an army running through the tempest, rolls through them. The rain is heavy and feels like drumming on their skin, though it's hard to separate the rain's embrace from the uneasy mahia humming in their bones. Mar presses their hands down their rain-slick arms, trying to ignore the fact that the edges of their black markings are glowing orange. The birthmark weaves over their arms and chest and down their legs like thick, black maces. At least now Mar is old enough to pretend their markings are tattoos. Mar shakes their head and takes a deep breath. They can argue with their mahia later. Leo, the quartermaster, sent them up here to peer through the blurry, endless sheet of rain to the raging waters. La Catalina is supposed to be nearing Isla Mujeres, off the coast of La Península de Yucatán. It's where Mar grew up, and Papa's crew frequently returns to deliver most of the treasures and resources they've taken from the Spaniards. It isn't really stealing, more like returning, since the Spaniards stole it from those living around the Caribbean Sea in the first place, out of the Spaniards' hands and back to the people. After 5 successful raids, the crew's haul is one of their biggest yet, but this storm is throwing them off course. If Mar's mahia were useful, it might point them in the right direction, like a compass. But no. All Mar's mahia ever does is cause them grief. It's a lesson they've had to learn the hard way, and one they don't intend to forget. Mar swiftly climbs down the rigging, gripping the rope with their toes, careful not to slip on the water-slick holdings. They've climbed up to and down from the crow's nest on La Catalina so often they could do it in their sleep. And a good thing, too, because it's dark tonight. Mar might as well be blindfolded. Their bare feet have scarcely touched the soaked wooden slats of the deck when a crack of lightning slices through the night, followed by a rumble Mar can feel in their chest. Papa isn't navigating. Not that Mar is surprised. Navigating through a storm like this is like looking for fresh water in the ocean. Still, if anyone can navigate out of this storm, it's Papa. But as Mar squints through the storm, Papa doesn't seem to be on deck with most of the crew. So then, he's inside. Coño, you'd better not be doing what I think you're doing. Mar marches up the steps to the quarterdeck, bracing themselves against the railing as a wall of wind slams into them. Mar leans into the wind, cursing under their breath as they grip the rail so tightly their fingers hurt. Still, they slip back inches at a time over the slick steps anyway. Flames burst from their fingertips, and Mar yelps, clamping down on their mahia abruptly, pain lancing through their chest. Their shaking arms burn with effort, It's all they can do to hang on without letting their magia slip again and incinerate the rail. Mad glares at their orange markings. It's always the fire ready to explode out of them the moment their guard slips. Where fire always demands space and attention, their eyes, magia, is quieter, steadier.
¿Por qué no puedes comportarte como el hielo?
Mad grits out. Ice magia never causes problems, but the fire is wild, demanding, deadly. A wave of heat washes over them in protest. So hot, Mad sweats in the rain. But then the wind lets up just long enough for Mad to rush up the remaining stairs to the back of the quarterdeck and through the gilded double doors into El Capitán's quarters, slamming the doors behind them before the wind can catch them. It takes all of a second for Mad to adjust to the dim, golden candlelight of the cabin and register the thick smell of rum in the air. Two empty bottles lie on their sides on the floor beside the table strewn with maps, illustrations, and trinkets scavenged from various raids. Papa's favorite gun, which once belonged to the cabrón Manuel Ramón García López, the Spanish capitán who has made it his mission to hunt down the last of the Caribbean's pirates, teeters at the edge of the table. Mar touches their own holstered flintlock pistol, tucked under their soaked shirt at the small of their back. They run their thumb over the slick wax waterproof coating and onto their rope belt as they peer into the dim cabin. Not because it's likely anyone dangerous is here, but with the endless humming in their bones, the reminder that the pistol is still there is reassuring.
Mar!
The call comes from the far end of the room, doused in shadow, where Papa's bed is. Papa stumbles out of the darkness, his rail-thin frame leaning on Leo's large torso. Papa grins widely as he waves around a third bottle of rum, this one half empty. Some of the amber liquid sloshes out of the thin bottleneck onto his stained white shirt, slapping the deck like the rain outside. Papa must be really drunk. He'd never let even a drop of precious rum go to waste unless he was neck deep in, well, three bottles. La Catalina's quartermaster grimaces as he gently helps Papa to the table, looking at Mar with something like disappointment.
¿Viste algo?
He asks softly. Leo sounds utterly exhausted, and it takes Mar half a second to recognize he's talking to them. Oh. Mad rips their gaze away from their completely drunk papa. No, it's impossible to see anything through the storm, they answer in Spanish. Leo steadies papa and releases him, watching as papa balances on his own. Satisfied he won't fall over, Leo sighs deeply, gently cups papa's cheek for a moment, then bites his lip and walks over to Mad. He rests his hand on Mara's shoulder and squeezes lightly.
I need to get back out there with the crew. Can you?
I can handle him, Mara says. Let me know if you need help out there. Leo nods.
Still the long night.
They meet his steady gaze.
Still the long night.
Leo takes two quick strides to the hatch, then hesitates. His hand on the door. He looks back to Papa. The pain in his face is raw. It hits Mar in the chest.
Te amo, Juan.
The smile that warms Papa's face makes him look 10 years younger.
Y yo también te amo, mi corazón.
Leo smiles softly, then steps out into the roaring storm. Mar sighs and turns back to Papa, not sure where to begin.
¿Qué tal, mi tesoro?
Papa slams the bottle on the table so hard it's a miracle it doesn't crack. He stumbles forward and his rings scratch the table as his hand trails on it for balance. Mar isn't feeling especially treasured.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?